Hey, we're just going to ask you to come in. I'm sure all of you guys probably know Rich. So he's been in the community, I think, for 20 years or longer. And ministers at the Church of the Road. And yeah, we just so want to thank you for walking with us, Rich. Now, guys, I think, you know, when things started to unravel at the beginning of the year, we really just felt that we needed to reach out. And it's been so nice to reach out to Rich and others as well. And we know that they're praying for our church, that they're here to support our church. And part of that is just Rich coming to share God's word today. So let me just pray for him quick, and we look forward to hearing from you. Lord Jesus, I just want to thank you that our little Crossways church here is a small part of your big puzzle. And we thank you for all the churches in Hilton, Lord Jesus. We thank you for Hilton Christian Fellowship that Rich leads. We just pray your blessing on them, Lord Jesus. Even today, Lord Jesus, may your spirit just be there and just minister there in Rich's absence. And Lord, we commit him to you and just give him freedom here just to share your word from his heart. So we just pray that you'd give us wide open ears to hear from you today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you very much, Doug. Good morning, everyone. I'd like my only wife to come and stand next to me. I'm going to have to move this because she's a little small. Eh? Yeah, there you go. This is my wife, Abs. We have two sons. One is, the eldest is 27 on Monday, tomorrow. And the youngest is 24 and 25 in August. Yeah. And he's getting married on the weekend. So, yeah, we've kind of hopefully done our time, but you never stop paying. So, all of those who thought it was a cool thing to have big families, I hope you got made some plans. But Abs has something to share that she felt just for the church as we're driving up or as we're just praying this morning and thinking about our time. If you're okay to open your hearts to receive what she has for us, let's go for it.
Morning, everybody. It's such a privilege and an honor to be here, and we really want to thank you for opening your hearts to us today. I just really felt for this congregation. There were two things I had in my heart. The first one was when Jesus said to the disciples, he said, I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. And I feel for you as a body, Jesus is saying he's not going to leave you as orphans. I know that what you've been going through and what you're facing, you might feel like he has left you as orphans. But he will not leave you as orphans. The other thing I had a picture of a pirate treasure chest that had been left on an island somewhere. It had been buried there and had been left there. And years later, people remembered this treasure chest and went there and dug it up. And I feel like God is saying that it's almost like you guys are almost like that. That this, and as they opened the treasure chest, there were jewels, there were gems, there were articles of, you know, different articles and things in this treasure chest made of gold and everything. And I felt God was saying that he actually, gifts in this body have been dug up. They need to be dug up. They need to be cleaned off. And I felt like as you open the treasure chest and there were all these different things. It wasn't just one thing. It wasn't just coins. It wasn't just gems. It wasn't just jewelry. There was a whole lot of things in there that actually represented the people in the body. And I felt God was saying that there's people that even at the bottom of this chest that have been forgotten. And it's time to come to the top. And your gifts is the treasure that this place needs. Your gifts that you've got need to start coming out because God actually wants to use those gifts that he's placed within each one of you. He wants to start using those gifts to start bringing out something new and something fresh in the community. And so I see it as a very, very exciting time. And I see it as it's a time of where God just wants to say he loves you. He loves you. He loves you as a body and he loves you individually. And it's time to take those treasures that you've got individually and bring them out and start using them so that as a whole you'll see the benefit of this treasure chest as a whole and everything that God is able to do. So I just want to leave that with you and encourage you that he has not left you as orphans. He has not left you as orphans. He will come to you. And it's in a very, very exciting time. I think that you guys have got, and it's regrouping, and it's just your own gifts that are coming through. And there's a really lovely spirit here. I really want to commend you. There's a lovely spirit. And as I look across, there are faithful, faithful people that have been in this place and in this body for a long time, faithful, serving. And I want you to know that God says, well done, good and faithful servants. Well done, good and faithful servants. God is doing a new thing in your midst, and He is doing it. It's almost like it's like South Africa has been shaken, this body has been shaken, but He is doing it. And it's exciting to see what's going to come out and the new things that God has and the new, I was just thinking, dig again the wells until the water gushes. That is so appropriate for you. And block the wells that were blocked up, that were stopped up. Because Isaac actually unstopped the wells of Abraham, his father, that his father had dug. And Isaac means laughter. And so with the wells that were unblocked, it came a lot of laughter and renewing and just everything fresh and just something that God wants to do. So unstop those wells, unblock those wells, and let joy come again. And really what you said this morning, you know, that God has got a purpose and He wants to do something new and fresh with you guys. So God's not going to leave you as orphans. You're a treasure chest. You each have a treasure that needs to be developed and outgrown. And I don't know what happened there. You got very excited. And unblock those wells and let His love and His joy just come out of you.
Thank you. Could you turn in your Bibles to the beautiful letter that Paul wrote to the Colossians? And we'll want to offload a couple of verses out of that incredible letter. But I just want to set the tone this morning out of chapter 1 and verse 27. It says, to them God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's the glorious mystery. Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's what I want to speak about this morning. Christ in you, the hope of glory. And I've entitled my message, Carpe Diem. Now, Carpe Diem, if you went to a fancy schmancy school, which we have many of in these here parts, you would have heard the term, I'm sure. But for the rest of us who didn't go to a fancy school, we first heard it in the 1986 movie Dead Poets Society. You got me right there. Yeah. I never heard it before that movie, but some of you would have. Anyway, Carpe Diem is a Latin aphorism usually translated to seize the day. So that's how we kind of know it, okay? Written by the Roman poet Horace in his work Odes, which was written 26 years before Jesus was born. Now, that's quite an ancient piece of scripture, or sort of scripture. It's not scripture, it's an ancient piece of literature. But it carries quite a lot of significance in the literary world. And so this seize the day, but the actual sort of more exact translation would be to pluck the day because it is ripe. Like a fruit, an apple or something off a tree. To pluck it, to take it because it's ripe. So pluck the day because it is ripe is what this aphorism means. So every single one of us, no matter who you are, there are three things that are unique to you, and only you have them. Your fingerprints, your toe prints, I'm told, are the same as your, well, I don't know if it's the same pattern, I've never checked, but your toe prints are also unique to you. And there's something on the back of your eye. I didn't go to a fancy school, so I don't know all these things. But your retina is unique. That's why in those James Bond movies, they always look into the eye before they open the vault. And then they're your fingerprint. You can also biometrics. You can put your fingerprint on a safe, and it can open. You can lock doors with a fingerprint, and only you can get in. And so even our phones, I got a cell phone that you put your fingerprint on there and that opens. But I've checked it because every time I want to, I put it on there and it says no, put it properly. And then by that time I could have already made the phone call already. So it doesn't always work. But as unique as your fingerprints, your toe prints and your irises are to you, so is one other thing which we hadn't thought about, and I want to share with you this morning, that you, every single one of us, has a unique combination of relationships that revolve around your life. You have a unique combination of relationships. No one else on the planet has the same combination of relationships that you do. Even if you are identical twin, you still do not share the same combination of relationships. Now, Abby and I have been married for 31 years at the end of this year, and we know lots of people. We've been in ministry for 31 years, and we know lots of people. But there's some people that I know differently to her, and there's people that she knows differently to me. And so we may know some of the same people, but we will know them differently. And we will have a different kind of relationship with them. And so every single one of us has a unique combination of relationships around our lives that God wants to exploit for the purposes of the gospel. You mentioned, my dear sister in the couch at the back, that God has called us to his purposes. And he's made known to us what his purposes are. The fact that you are still breathing today as a born-again believer means that God has a purpose for your life, right? Because if it was all about the presence of God, then we'd be in heaven right now. They play Just As I Am without one plea on the organ with a tremolo, and you put your hand up and you come to the front, you give your life to Jesus, then you should go straight to heaven. It'd be your hardest thing to do an altar call. If you put his hand up, he's gone. Put your hand up, gone. Some people will put both hands up and take me now, but it'll be the hardest thing to do. You'd have to be an altar call and a funeral service at the same time, because they just go. If that was the point, but Jesus came to tell us differently. He came to say, "Go make disciples of every nation." That's what that's the purposes of God. That's why you still breathe oxygen. If it was about his presence and about being close to Jesus, then he would have taken you home. I mean, why wait? Why go through all of this pain and all of this stuff when we could just go be with him? The reason is because there's a call on all of our lives. There's a call on every single one of our lives to go make disciples of every nation, to impact our world. And we're talking about seize the day. We're talking about Christ in me, the hope of glory. The hope of this nation we've been praying for is Christ in you. That's the hope of this nation. Is Christ in us, the hope of glory. And so when we get our brains around that and stop focusing on our own comforts and our own cushy factor, and get busy, roll our sleeves up and get busy with his agenda, what his purposes are in our lives, and exploiting that unique combination of relationships for his glory and for his purposes. See, we start moving forward as people of God. We start living with purpose. And we're not just reading news reports, which we know a lot of garbage anyway, and go like, oh, where are we going to move to? New Zealand? Honestly, you don't want to go anywhere else in the world, I promise you. We're just going to the UK in June for a ministry trip, and the rings and hoops you got to jump through just to get a visa to go to England. I mean, you know, it's like 100 years ago, my great-grandparents came from there to here, and now to go back there you got to jump through, just, it's crazy. So, and every nation, this whole world, you know, they say that the world is elliptical. You heard that in geography if you were there? Were you listening? I don't I don't know about you, bro, but it's not round, it's not a sphere, it's elliptical, it's sort of, and it's on an axis. I don't think that's true. I think the world is pear-shaped. It's because I promise you, it really is going south quickly. And so, don't put your hope and your trust in this life. This isn't your home. But while you are here, God has a purpose for you, and that is to make His name known. And so, tomorrow is not guaranteed. You know, we buried a very dear friend. We didn't actually. That's probably too dramatic. We did his memorial service. And Manny was a wonderful man. Many of you may have known him, Ian and Hazel Buchanan. You would have known Ian Buchanan if you have been around Hilton for a while. And Manny bravely fought cancer, and finally he succumbed. Last month, and I remember visiting him often during his last days. And every day just seeing him get worse, you know, and it's a hard one because we prayed and we trusted God, you know, and we wanted to see a miracle, but we didn't. And so that's the mystery of this thing. Christ in you, the hope of glory. It's a mystery. Your salvation's a mystery. Because God says that, Jesus said you can't come to the Father but through Him. And then another passage He says you can't come to me unless the Father calls you. So the fact that you're saved is a precious thing. It's a mystery. We don't get that. And so we live in this space here on earth. We look through a glass dimly. We don't have all the answers. We don't have all the recipes. And yes, we believe in praying for people. We believe. I've seen people get healed. And we've heard testimonies from this meeting in Bloemfontein. I mean, one of the buses, I think it was somebody in our church that was on a bus, that there was this little boy with really, really thick glasses, and he kind of couldn't read without his glasses. And then after the meeting on their way back, they're all sitting in their same seats, and he was trying to look at the video or something on his phone. He said, "Dad, there's something wrong with my glasses. I can't see." So they took glasses off and could see perfectly. So God healed him. So we believe that God heals, but in this instance He didn't, and it was a really sad time because we were saying goodbye to him here on earth. But man, so I was sitting with him in these last couple of days and going, Ian, what does it feel like to know that tomorrow or the next day you could be seeing Jesus face to face? What does that feel like? Because it must be amazing. You're lying there contemplating all these things in your head as you lie on this bed. What does it feel like to know that you could see Jesus tomorrow? And he said, "Oh, you know, he's looking forward to it," and he just kind of fobbed it off. And it's probably a bit of a sort of a non-PC type of question to ask, because everybody was like trusting for his healing, and I'm asking him, "What is it like to see Jesus tomorrow?" You know. And then when I went out of that hospital room, I was struck by this thought that every single one of us live in that space. Because tomorrow's not guaranteed, friends. It could be tomorrow. And I read that passage just the other day about God saying that, you know, the span of man's life is 70 years and 80 if he's strong. That didn't come as a promise. That was actually a rebuke. That was a rebuke. So life is frail. Human life is frail. And we think we got it all. We think we're bulletproof. We think we can make... And I'm not suggesting you don't make plans for your future. I'm just saying that don't take it as a given. Because our lives are in God's hands. He says He knows our days. Before we've even lived one of them, He knows how many there are. So we got to live our lives gently before our Father. Under His loving gaze, with eternity in mind. And if we live like that, we take this thing, carpe diem, the seize the day, we take it to heart. So let's read our text this morning. Is Colossians chapter 4 and verse 2 to 6. And we'll just have a look very quickly at some of these things. Colossians chapter 4, verse 2 to 6. If you got the old device, you'd just start here. The page is going, but a lot of you got new devices. Because The paper, nothing wrong with the paper. It's just, and there's nothing wrong with a cell phone either. Okay. So some people say, "Oh no, I'm with the old, with the proper Bible." Well, then you would have the parchment scrolls, because the printing machine, that's technology. Okay. So none of us have got enough boxes to lug around all the old scrolls. So if you know what. If you want to read paper, that's fine. I need this thing because it make you can go bigger without glasses. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. And pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. Be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. Devote yourselves to prayer, he says there, being watchful and thankful. Set yourself apart. And, I mean, Angus was saying on that video that he's changed, his prayer life's changed. Let's devote ourselves to prayer. Giving yourself to prayer. It means give yourself to it. Devote yourself. Dedicate yourself to it. Be passionate about prayer. You know, prayer is simply talking to God. And if my conversation with Abby was a discipline, there'd be something wrong with our marriage, wouldn't there? If I had to discipline myself to talk to her, you know, now I'm going to spend some time talking to her. There's something wrong with that picture, man. Sorry, can't talk to you now. I've done that for the day. I've done my duty of talking to you for the day. So you can't do that. And so when he says dedicate yourself or devote yourself to prayer, that's like a marriage. It's like devoting yourself to your wife. You don't have a set booking for prayer, for communicating with your wife. Because she will then very quickly have a set booking for when you can eat. And it may not be every day. Or for when she can do whatever it is that's convenient for you, for her to, or inconvenient for you and convenient for her. So that's a marriage. This is heart to heart. This is connection, a heart connection with Jesus. And so we get to pray. And that's a privilege. It's not a bind or a grind, oh, you know, I haven't prayed today. This is a thing that happens, and it happens all day. So when it says devote yourself to prayer, when Paul says devote yourself to prayer, he's saying, listen, let it be part of your life. Let it be just a natural outflow of this relationship that you have with Jesus. So devote yourself to prayer, being watchful, diligent, vigilant. Don't just live your life thinking that everything's just rosy. We live in a war zone, friends. This world is a war zone. And we are ambassadors here. We are representatives of Christ. The church is the agency for the kingdom of heaven. People come to salvation through the message that we carry. Every single one of us into that sphere, that unique sphere of relationships that we have, we carry that message every single day. The gospel's not just for Sunday. Gospel's for every day. And the gospel's not just to get saved. It's for all of life. It's the full opinion and idea of God and His communication to us. He wants us to carry that with us every day. Not compartmentalize our lives. Well, that's for Sunday. That's for, you know, for another time, a quiet time. I believe in having a time of reading, and I'm not the most disciplined person on the planet when it comes to these things. I like variety in my life. I don't do routine very well. Abby is much better at routine than me, and there's some days I'm like still under the pillow and I open my eyes and she's reading a Bible and I go, oh Lord, I'm such a horrible person. But but I found the groove at the moment that I'm so loving and just so enjoying. Just that if you make it drudgery, then it becomes that. And so I understand where it comes. People call them disciplines of the faith. But, you know, if our marriage was a discipline, it would be a problem. And So it's got to be a love. It's a joy. We get to pray. But he says, be watchful, be vigilant, be diligent. And then also be thankful when we pray. Because sometimes we're just coming up with all the problems. And but he's saying, be thankful. Thankful for the things that we've... So we can be all of these things and grateful at the same time. So it's easy to gripe and whinge. And it's easy to do that. And you can fall into that trap in this country so easily. And that's what I think partly what this time at Bloom has done is actually help people go, but God. Instead of standing around the bar and go, oh, you know, and just carry on, and, you know, we're just packing up, we're going, no, but God. But God. And that's a great answer. Because, yes, we've got problems. It's, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to work out that we've got problems. And as I said, everybody's got problems, and it shouldn't be a surprise to us because Jesus said you're going to have them. It's not like it was a secret. And suddenly, ooh, you know, we've got problems. No, it was, Jesus said it thousands of years ago that you will have problems in these days. And so we should expect them. And so in our prayer life, don't just ignore the problems, pray them, bring them, but don't gripe and complain. Leave them at the cross and go away in victory. Because that's what we call to live. No, but you never impact anybody's life if you're walking in defeat. Go in victory. And you walk in defeat when you whinge and gripe about everything. And we shouldn't. And Paul's warning us, as he's saying, rather pray. Philippians chapter 4 says, rejoice in the Lord always. He says, I'll say it again in case you didn't hear the first time. Rejoice. That's what Paul says. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, not just some, every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. That's how we to pray. And the peace of God, the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. That's how we to pray. We pray and we bring it to God. We don't let anxiety build up in our lives. We give it to Him. We pray and we go away with His peace with a grateful heart. Now remember this. And we've walked this road. Abby's had cancer twice in her life. And the last one was, we've just come through a year of treatment. And so we've faced this one. Two bullets in one lifetime, we faced it. And they were separate diseases. So it wasn't like we had one and then it kind of metastasized or whatever down the road. And then it wasn't anything like that. Two separate diseases. And last visit to the oncologist earlier this year, he said, well, I'm going to say that you are a survivor. You're a cancer survivor officially. There's no more disease in your body and the treatment is done and all the blood tests are clear. So are we going, praise the Lord? So Abby says, for the second time. So he says, yes, for a second time. So we can be in the middle of a trial and have victory at the same time. Friends, we can be in the middle of a trial and have victory at the same time. We can be in the middle of difficulty and be overcomers at the same time. We can be in the middle of a storm and have peace at the same time. That's where we're called to live. That's Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's where we're called to live. And so people look at us and go, gee, you know, it must be really hard. Yeah, yeah, it is hard, but God. Inside of me there's Christ, and that's the hope of glory. And so we don't live our lives in the here and now only. We live our lives with a perspective on eternity. We have to. You have to. And I feel so sorry for people who have to go through difficulty without God. I honestly have, my heart breaks for them. Because somehow the darts club just isn't enough, hey? Or the snooker club, or the bowling club. I don't have a problem with either of those pursuits, because I couldn't really call them sports. But it, suddenly there's just, it's the people of God. When you're going through a difficulty, the body of Christ, the hope in all, the glory, the Christ in all of them is your hope of glory. And so there's something about that. That when you go through difficulty that you need to know this hope. And so, Next verse, Colossians chapter 4, verse 3 says, "And pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I'm in chains." Now, here's Paul. Here's a guy writing from prison. He's in chains, and he's praying, and he's actually saying to the guys, he's saying, "Pray for me, so that I can preach the gospel. I'm already in chains for preaching the gospel, but pray for me so that I can do it more." You would have thought that the guy in chains for the gospel would say, "Look, you know what, I'm going to just call it now, and somebody else can carry on the mantle." No, he's saying, "Pray so that I can carry on doing what I'm in chains for." See, he's got his eyes set on something completely different. He's not looking at this world. And friends, there are people that have been imprisoned and will be imprisoned and who will suffer much worse. And there are people in different parts of the world where Christians are being persecuted who are going through much worse and have come through much worse. And yet we to pray for strength to carry on doing that. That's incredible. And so Paul says, that's Christ in you, the hope of glory. Then he says, "Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should." I mean, even Paul, the greatest missionary, the greatest apostle other than Jesus on the face of the earth, he asks the church for prayer for him to do what God has called him to. And that was to preach the gospel to the Gentiles. That was what he... And friends, we are in the same boat. We are called by our lives to reflect the message of Christ, by our words, by our attitudes, by how we treat others. All of these things are our message to the world. Abby was the other day was at Checkers, and I'm not blowing a trumpet, but she went down to just do her usual shopping because we live down in Montgomery Drive, so Checkers Cascades is our normal spot. And one of the managers of Checkers saw her and said to her, "Gee, you know, there's something about you." And he wasn't hitting on her. He just said, "There's something about you. There's a peace about you. There's joy. You're a very compassionate person." And he was saying this stuff, you know. And Abby was then started ministering to him and just sharing the gospel. And I'd love to say that he knelt down right there outside the Cascades Checkers and received Jesus, but he didn't. But he's asking questions, and he's seeing something reflected. Something of Christ being reflected. Now, it hasn't happened to me yet, but because I'm under the pillow when she's reading. But I'm telling you, people see, they read your life. And that's what Paul is saying here. He says, I want to proclaim this clearly. So let our lives reflect clearly the love of Christ to our world. And then he says, be wise in the way you act toward others. And this is wisdom. In 2 Corinthians, he says, we are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. So you represent Jesus with your whole life. And people are looking at you. People are making assumptions about Jesus, about faith, about church, about the kingdom of heaven. Be wise in how you deal with the outsiders or the world, that combination of relationships that you occupy every day of your life. Be wise in that space so that people can see Jesus clearly. And then he says, make the most of every opportunity. Seize the day. And Ephesians says, be careful, very careful, how you live. Not as unwise, but as wise. Making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. That word there is kairos in the Greek, and it means opportunity or fitting time. There are times as we live our lives that there will be that right moment when somebody would be in need of what you have, and we need to be ready and waiting. And that's part of this whole prayer is actually, Lord, help me to see the opportunities when they come. Because that's what I'm here for. I'm breathing oxygen to share the gospel. That's why I'm here. That's why you're still here. And Lord, give me the opportunity. And when they come, take them. Seize the day. Make use of that kairos moment, that opportunity, that fitting time to share the gospel. That's what this opportunity is there for, to share the gospel, to show Jesus' love to the world, to point people to Christ. In Philippians, there's this beautiful illustration that Paul says in chapter 2, verse 40. He says, do everything without grumbling or arguing so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation. That's where we live, friends. That's why we got problems, because we live in a crooked and warped generation. He says, then you will shine among them like stars in the sky as you hold firmly to the word of life. What are the stars in the sky? He says, you'll shine like stars in the sky. Now in the old days, remember how they used to navigate with the stars? So a ship would cross the Mediterranean, but they had developed technology already by then, these Bible times, to go past the shoreline, because they used to just skirt the shoreline so they could just see beacons on the coast. Then they went across where they couldn't see land, and so they developed a system of navigating by stars. People observed this and thought, you know, we can sail that way at night, we can even go at night, and the stars will guide us back to port. Friends, there are people looking at your life and my life, and they're navigating by the stars that shine. And they look at your life, and they're navigating themselves safely back to their harbor, who's Jesus. They look at your life. So yes, we say shine like stars in this corrupt generation. Stand out. Don't blend in. Blending in's not going to help anybody. We're not called to blend in. Stand out. Shine like stars in this generation. And that is the opportunity that we're looking for. That person who will say, what is it about you? I don't understand. There's something about you. What is it? And we're then able to guide them home, because they look at our lives and they follow. So, friends, we've got to be aware of the fact that people are watching. And let me say this. There might be some little people who sit at your meal table every night who are watching. Because if it ain't happening at home, it ain't happening, right? And you know, I've been in ministry our whole working life, and we've raised children in this space. And my kids today they love Jesus, because I think not we were the same in church as we were at home. Despite the pressure to be otherwise in certain circles, certainly not the last 20 years that we've been in Hilton. But I'm just saying that there's an incredible pressure for you to be something else at church and something else at home. And we've got to watch that. We've got to be the authentic article. You can't have a faith that only works on Sunday morning in a space where there's music and it's playing out, praise the Lord, and everybody's friendly, and then at home the dog gets the boot and the cat gets kicked and the children get snapped at, so we've got to have this consistency in our walk with the Lord. It's not just something we put on for Sunday for show. We live it, because people are looking at your life and they are navigating their way back, and some of them may be sitting around your table. And then lastly, he says, let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. Not to have all the answers, but to have the right attitude. So what's in your heart will always come out of your mouth, right? That's what happens. And so people don't always care about how much you know until they know how much you care. And that is where we need to be as believers. Now, I would not like to post myself or present myself as Mr. Perfect, because I'm not, and I'm well aware of that, and you can ask Abby if you want any further details. And I've had people leave our church for some silly reasons, and this is so on behalf, I got to say this, on behalf of every church pastory type person on the planet who has ever hurt you, I have to say sorry. on behalf. I've been injured in church. Church is not always the safest place to be. One would think it should be, but it not always is. And I've been injured and hurt. And we planted this church here where we were no place to plant a church. And but I've had people leave. I mean, we don't go out of our way to do this, to hurt people, because we're shepherds. And but I've had people leave our church injured because of my actions. And I'm going, well, what did I do wrong while I was at the mall and you didn't greet me? You know, when I go to the mall, you got to understand, sometimes it's just too much. It's like overload. Have you ever been there? You just don't even see anymore. Everything else is just a haze. It's just the tile in front of you that you're walking on. And it's just, I get that sometimes. And then everyone's got to m'ladies. So we got to go. But then, so that's why they put benches outside all these ladies' shops. Eh? Because, and I'll tell you why there's benches outside. Because the fitting room's always next to the bras and undies. It's true, eh? They always, why do they do that? Why on earth, every single shop we go to, the fitting room is right next to the lingerie department? Can't I put that another place? It's not like you're going to be going there trying on your unmentionables and standing. You can't even try them on. So why do they have them right there near the fitting room? So you go stand there looking sort of like, and you know, I'm standing there like trying, you know, not to look, and waiting, and because everyone's my opinion. But now I feel like, gee, there must be some ladies here that think, gee, this is a horrible husband because he won't even let his wife go shopping without him giving his approval. And I was thinking, hey, don't you, you know, so I'm standing there and I can just feel it. I can feel him even thinking it. Like, you know, this man, what is he doing standing around ladies' underwear department? And I'm doing this on purpose. So that's my experience of the mall. It's not always a happy one. So this lady walked past and didn't, and I never greeted her. And she left. I don't know. I hope not. I know another pastor in town, if he goes in the shopping mall, he just holds his cell phone next to him. He's not talking, he's just walking. But he does this so that nobody stops and talks to him. Now, I'm not like that. I'd be happy to talk to anybody, but you can't leave a church because somebody never greeted you. Come on. Where are we? That's more about me than about the kingdom and about the gospel. And so we need to be in this space where we are seizing the day for the gospel. Put whatever injuries, you know, I understand I've been hurt myself in the life of church. But we've got to get healed of that. We've got to move on. And there's more. There's a job to be done. You're breathing oxygen for a reason. There's a kingdom that's got to advance. There's the love of Christ that's got to be shed abroad. There's an opportunity waiting for you to go and pluck because it's ripe and ready. What is your life showing? Are the stars shining brightly? Are people seeing their way back to Christ through your life? That's the challenge that we live under. So carpe diem for the gospel as a whole has a lot to do with how we as Christians live our lives. It's about how we live and how well we live. In the good times and the bad times, the happy times and the sad times, the tragedy and the triumph. We all have that. We're not immune to that. And we live in that space. Remember that someone is looking carefully at you. Remember that you're being watched. So in a sentence, this is what Paul is saying, and I'll close with this. He says, live prayerfully, live carefully, and thankfully. Remember the mission. Remember the mission. Remember why we're here. And make use of every chance you get. And whatever you do, don't disqualify yourself by having a wrong attitude or living loosely. God bless you. It's been a privilege being here with you this morning. Thank you so much, Doug.
Thanks so much to both of you guys. Yeah, so it's been a lovely service, guys. Thanks all for being a part of it, and let's just go and enjoy the rest of today. Thanks, guys.